The following program is a JWC Media production for WrestleChat.net and CLW83.com. This edition of the NAWC is
uncensored.
For 7 years.
7 years.
300 episodes and counting.
300 episodes.
The North American Wrestling Connection.
The NAWC.
Professional wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net proudly present the NAWC. Bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned this week by
Michael Cole, the legendary JBL, the Hall of Famer Jerry the King Lawler. Are you guys ready for the hair versus mask match between Hornswoggle and El Torito?
It's a win-win situation if you ask me.
I wish Michael would lose his mask.
What about his hair?
That too.
Hey, look, the little bull. He's two-thirds.
Oh,
hey, it's growing back.
It is growing back.
It's like a salamander. It's growing back.
The tail that was ripped off by Hornswoggle is starting to grow back on El Torito.
How does that happen?
Hornswoggle!
Can you imagine that head goes bald? And you know, this is about 42 years in the making. The last big hair versus mask match was Gorgeous George versus the Destroyer at Olympic Auditorium in 1962. This could be as big an epic as that.
I thought you said Billy Kidman was involved in one.
Yeah, but that wasn't very good. And Billy lost his mask.
It wasn't epic?
No, not very good match.
This is going to be a grappling battle tonight.
What? So it's like Flair Steamboat, just like miniature versions of what you're saying.
Exactly.
Whoa.
Whoa, you may be right.
Whoa, look at this.
Reversal after reversal. This is already, guys, a Matt classic.
We always say Cesaro is pound for pound the strongest man in WWE. We may have to revise that.
And Torito doesn't exactly have his equilibrium. His tail is gone.
And he...
His tail is gone.
And he just came off balance.
Oh, Torito!
A spinning hoof!
Spinning hoof?
Here's the cover. And a kick up on Hornswoggle.
Hey, wait.
What's Charles Robinson doing?
That's not fair, is it?
It's not fair at all.
Is that a three count?
No, it's a two-thirds. The bull has mad count.
Oh, man.
What a cheap little shot.
Oh, no. Drew McIntyre.
What is wrong with Drew McIntyre?
I don't have any idea.
Why would he do that?
Well, like last time we had a baby, he just jumped through a table. That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
And Hornswoggle.
No!
Oh, my God, like a bowling ball.
It looked like Earl Anthony launched him.
It's like a strike.
Look at Torito.
And there goes Slater.
Guys, just stay down. For God's sakes.
Yeah.
Just stay down.
That way you won't have so far to fall.
Uh-oh, look out.
He's twerking, Michael.
Oh, he's trying to grab the mask.
Oh, no, he's pulling his mask off. He's got it off.
Wait a minute.
Is that his real face? His real face is a mask.
He's got another mask on underneath
that's his
that
real
mask.
Face. His real face is red.
Well, I think Hornswoggle thinks he's won, but remember, you got to win via pinfall or submission.
No! Torito wins. That was three, not two-thirds.
Torito.
The miniature version of Pluto called Hornswoggle's head is about to get shaved clean. Oh, my God. That much head. I don't know if we got enough time in the kickoff show.
Oh, he is going to be ugly bald.
He's ugly with hair.
It's a great point, King. It's a great point.
And good evening to the Season 8 premiere of the North American Wrestling Connection here on CLW83, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. I am not Nikki Heyman. My name is Jason Block. I am the host of... co-host of Pixel Nation and the host of Red State, Blue State. And I have a bunch of people here with me, but Mr. Chenier, can you just come on for 1 second, please? Are you there?
Yes.
Yeah, the reason why Nikki Heyman is not here is because of what happened last week. She's under investigation, from what I heard.
Oh, I am shocked.
Yeah, what happened is the Occupational Safety and Health Administration is investigating the studio explosion from last week. So that's why she's answering some governmental questions. So you got the letter, right? And you forwarded it over to her and stuff?
Yes, I did.
All right, good. So just monitor us, and let's bring in our panel to discuss this. First off, from Australia, the other side of the world, Mr. Shane Beeman, how are you, sir?
Doing very well. This is going to be awesome. Very first show. I think it's the first show we're doing, isn't it, on Google Hangouts?
Yeah, the new shiny new studio smell. And from the great state of FLA, Mr. Chris Waters, how are you, sir?
I'm good. I just thought I told Nikki not to pay checks for the safety regulations on the studio.
Yeah, well, and of course, my good friend and also Pixel Nation contributor occasionally, Stat Boy Josh Haniger out of the great state of Ohio. How are you, sir?
Chris, what was that?
I didn't blame you for anything, all right?
Do you not know how close I came to dying last week?
Yeah.
That which does not kill you makes you stronger.
Yeah.
Or it's going to make me a lot of money. More or less routing through your and Nikki's checkbooks. Well, and make sure the rest of her checks bounce.
All right. Before this tape is subpoenaed by the government, let's just go through it. Let's go through what happened, which was a pretty decent pay-per-view, actually, in Payback last Sunday night. That was out of the Allstate Arena in Chicago. All of you guys saw it, I'm assuming.
I was actually most at work of it. At the time.
Okay, but Josh, you did see it, right?
Most of it. I was not able to catch the early parts, but I was able to catch the rest.
Okay. The opener, as referenced by the actual open, was all doofus. As we remember, you know, El Torito was the Chicago Bull, literally the Chicago Bull, if you know your NBA, and he was 2/3 instead of 23. And we all got pretty much that El Torito would win. But good grief, Shane, that shaving segment, what the hell were they doing? Good grief.
I don't know. I think that was just a bit of an opening segue for the friggin' announcers to be absolute jackasses. But either way.
Which led to Monday night, which we will get to in a minute. Okay. The opening match for the actual pay-per-view was an excellent, excellent match between Sheamus and Cesaro. And, of course, Paul Heyman was gold because, of course, the Chicago crowd wanted CM Punk. And, of course, Heyman plays off on it, and, you know, he said that he was going to see the Blackhawks lose the streak like my client Brock Lesnar did to Undertaker. And, of course, if you saw the pictures this week, Chris, CM Punk actually paid off the bet to Bayley the Lion.
There's no greater shame than having to wear your opposing team's uniform.
Yes, he did. But I will have to say CM Punk does not welch on his bets. That is definitely sure. Sheamus won with a roll-up. Bit surprising, but Josh, good match, right?
I was not there on the pay-per-view yet. Okay. I was having problems with Chrome, but I fixed it when I went to Firefox.
Okay. Barrett, of course, you know, not shockingly, beat RVD. Decent match. Rusev won a pretty short match against Big E, but Shane, that was a pretty fun match for even how short that was.
Yeah, well, it wasn't too bad. Like, I like the fact that they were both rocking the flags there, but I know it's a little bit.
Yeah, I
know.
I mean,
it's with Rusev and Big E. I wasn't expecting a highly athletic match, so.
No, not at all. In the soap opera event, Nikki was dead on this one. what happened was is that Daniel Bryan was about to hand over the belts to Stephanie and to shorten up the actual segment. Basically, it's like, you can't fire me, bitch. I quit. Slap.
Can I just say, I'm pissed off, man, okay? I had that as my pick for the last fucking pay-per-view of Brie Bella gonna slap a bitch, and yeah. you slap the bitch now. Fuck you, Brie Bella.
Okay. But which led to what we're going to, again, talk about on Monday. I mean, the Paige-Alicia match was meh. But the two big matches, which we're going to full focus on. Let's start off with the Wyatt-Cena Last Man Standing match. Okay? Now, Josh.
Yeah.
Match of the year candidate. I thought it was a great match. Really good match. Did the right guy win, in your opinion?
This is kind of weird. On one hand, yes, the right guy did win because this screamed feud ender. But on the other hand, no, because for a while, I was wanting Bray Wyatt to win and become mainly.
This is a heart versus mind match, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so. My heart wanted Wyatt to win, but my mind was going Cena.
Yeah, exactly.
Unfortunately, my heart won.
Yeah, exactly. CM, what'd you think of that match?
Like I said, I was at work on the Sunday, but I read about it after the fact, and it sounds really interesting, and I'm going to have to see it eventually, but...
If you catch it on the network, catch it again. Okay. Shane, right guy win? Or
hell
or...
no.
Okay.
Hell no.
Okay. Yes.
Look, no offense to John, all right? Look, I appreciate everything John's done, but John, seriously, dude, you have, like, the hottest friggin' heel, like, coming up in the ranks, and you can't freaking push the guy? Oh, Jesus, I mean, what, you can only push him when it's 3-on-1, but when it's a legit 1-on-1, last man standing, you have to be all super fucking Cena. Fuck that shit. Sorry.
But I will say this, though, Nikki got one of the two wild cards. Nikki got, because she said Usos will neutralize, and as you put it, Josh, Rowan and Harper's laughing. I like that, by the way.
But I'm pumped.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, exactly. That's very good, because they did. But I will say this. Both Wyatt and Cena work their asses off. And speaking of working their asses off.
Oh, my God.
This main event, which was the Shield and Evolution in a no-holds-barred elimination tag match. And if you saw the Extreme Rules match, they just upped the level to about 25. All six men busted their behinds, including Blutista, a.k.a. Smurftista. What the hell were you thinking, Dave? Seriously?
Mega Man.
Mega Man. Oh, God. Oh, boy. Now, and again, I called the fact that there was a sweep and that all Evolution, that the Shield stood tall, all three of them beat everyone, and Triple H was the last guy to think. But Shane, what a match, right?
Yeah, you were talking about the Cena Wyatt match being a match of the year candidate. If this is not a match of the year candidate, then WWE is screwed. Because this was awesome. I'd actually call this a 5-star match. You had the whole crowd going, holy shit.
On multiple occasions, too. I mean, they beat the hell out of each other. I mean, there were spots where, I mean, you remember the spot on the steps where Roman Reigns was Singapore caned, and you saw the welt on his back. Ow, 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 right?
Mm-hmm.
And Josh, the triple power bomb through the table on Reigns.
Okay, that was another thing I was pissed off about, okay? That was my wild card, okay? Batista was supposed to go through the space and the other table, not Roman Reigns!
And of course, Seth Rollins off the Tron to everybody. Oh, dear my, that was just nuts, okay? And we had a sweep, and the Shield stood tall up until Monday. But now, let us go to the results of the pick-ems. Shane, my man.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news for myself.
Yeah, you do. You got four.
You got 4 points out of 9, because it would have, okay. Jim Williams got 5. Carl, Chris, you, Tyler Brown, VRM, and Tom Delgado got 6. Nikki got 7. Josh, you got 7.
Mm-hmm.
And Ethan got 7.
Pony. Now,
yes, pony for Ethan, yes. But we have co-fizzleweight champions. Believe it or not, 4th was perfect through the entire card. He got nothing wrong. 0, which is pretty amazing. I got everyone wrong, everyone right, excuse me, except the Cena-Wyatt match. If I would have done that because I got my wild card, I would have been the solo champion. But then we wouldn't have co-fizzleweight champions, myself and 4th. Congratulations to both of us.
Yay. Yes. Hold it.
What?
Here's the thing, Jason. You still held the belt through the last pay-per-view, which means you are now sole fizzleweight champion.
Ta-da! Thank you! That's why I had you on! Thank you so much! I am the fizzleweight champion! Woo-hoo! Yay! That's awesome. That's great. Mm-hmm. But now we get to Monday. And the biggest story of the week, by far, we have Seth Rollins turning on his brothers in arms and becoming, well, I don't know if he's a member of Evolution, but he turned on the Shield, okay? Which was set up by a very cool way of Dave, quote-unquote, quitting to go do the promotion of the movie. Right, Josh?
Oh, my God.
Wasn't that awesome? That was great.
Yes, yes, it was. Complete with the pageant wave.
Hey, Chris, did you like the pageant wave?
Yes, yes. Batista once again proves that he is his best when he's only got a week or so left on his show by giving a nice little royal wave to everybody goodbye.
Right. And now we've got did you like the way, Shane, that he quit, didn't you?
Well, it was a lot better than his wheelchair quitting that he did 5 years ago, whatever, however long it was. But, yeah, this one was definitely better. The only thing that killed it for me was when, of course, Triple H had to get the last word and be like, when your movie craps out, don't come crawling back to me.
Yeah, that movie's going to crap out. Yeah, sure. Yeah, right. Okay. No way is that movie going to crap out. This is a Marvel movie, thank you so much. This is an Avengers-type movie, thank you so much. It's part of the Marvel Phase 2. It ain't going to crap out. Not even close. Okay? Now, let us go to the actual turn itself. Who saw it coming? Raise your hand. No one.
Nope.
Good.
I was waiting for Ambrose, not Rollins.
Ah, that was my next question. Okay. But, by the way, did you all know that it came out that that wasn't even on the script, so that this wouldn't leak, which I like, you know? But the question is, now I'm going to ask everyone around the table, is Rollins the right guy? Starting with, all right, Chris, is he the right guy?
It's hard to say at this point, in my opinion. It's very, for one thing, I'm glad they did this surprise, because in this internet age, we don't really get that many surprises like this level of them. But it really is, he's kind of different, a different character for this pseudo-evolution now that Batista's gone, with him having a totally different style. I am interested to see how he does with the group now. So, for me, it's just, we'll wait and see.
All right, Josh, you don't think it's the right guy?
To be honest, I didn't at first. I do understand why they did it, because, how do I put this? A wee bit of backstory. If you guys remember, the original NXT Championship Tournament, which Seth won, who was there to present him with the belt? Hunter himself.
Excuse me. as Nikki would say, let's all sing it together.
Continuity.
There we go. Yes. They haven't mentioned that yet, but they might. Okay.
Yeah. However, I still look eventually for Dean to turn heel, but that'll come sooner or later. We know it will.
Shane, right guy?
Right guy for Evolution, yes. Right guy storyline-wise, not. I honestly don't think so, because it just, for me, it was like, well, if you... Although, we all know Triple H is the mouthpiece, so don't put Dean Ambrose with them, because Dean Ambrose will outshine Triple H any day. So, I guess they just had to get someone to replace the slow and puffed out Batista, so who better than Seth Rollins, who's been going fucking brilliant.
And if you noticed on SmackDown, Seth Rollins hasn't really said anything. And in a very good thing, he hasn't cut his hair. He hasn't changed clothes. He's in the Shield outfit just on the other side. And there was a great... First of all, he said two things that were really interesting. Okay? In the beginning, Chris, you heard him say, the only person I need to owe the explanation to was me.
Right.
Which was very good. And there was a great line when he was in the back with Triple H and Randy Orton, and Randy Orton says, welcome to the dark side. And he goes, I never left. How great of a line is that, right, guys?
That perfectly sets up what he was, because if he was the architect of the Shield, as they say he is, he was kind of the dark side when they started the whole Shield thing. It's just that they just had a different target for a little bit.
Right, exactly. It was really, really, really good. Now, next question. Was this the right time to do it, per se? Shane, starting with you.
It needed to be done because, as we all know, we've heard the rumblings that eventually it leads up to Triple H versus Roman Reigns at SummerSlam, so I guess Shield falling apart would be perfect timing now. Then,
Chris, do you think it's the right time?
I'm kind of mixed on this. It was a good thing. If they are going to build to something for SummerSlam, it's the right time. On the other hand, I'm kind of thinking outside of the Evolution thing, they might have been able to do a couple more things with the face group Shield, but otherwise, if they can't think of anything else, then I guess it was the right time.
Well, yeah, because let's actually segue into sort of the second big story of the night. Mm. Stephanie McMahon talked about Daniel Bryan's health. And Daniel Bryan, and there is going to be a double... There are two potential outcomes for Daniel Bryan after the slap heard around the world. If Daniel Bryan is healthy, he's going to defend his title against Kane. If he's not cleared to compete, the Money in the Bank match is going to be, for the first time, if I'm not mistaken, a title match for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Now, with that said, Josh, do you think Daniel Bryan is cleared to wrestle? Because I don't.
I really don't either. Because originally I heard probably false stories from a random dirt sheet. I won't name them because they're jerks. Who said he would be back in 2 weeks. I don't think he is. I think he's out until Battleground or SummerSlam, which worries me, unfortunately.
Right.
So, ultimately, he's not going to be back. That belt's going to be hung up on top of a ladder. And hopefully... We will get a new champion. I just hope it's somebody that can breathe some new life into it.
Now, the question I have about that is, if this is true, if you can't compete and they don't just do like a quick rush match just to keep the belt on Bryan, do you keep just one Money in the Bank match for the title, or do you add a second Money in the Bank to keep the tradition of the Money in the Bank briefcase?
Ooh, that's a very interesting point.
Yeah.
I think that the Money in the Bank, I'm not so sure about that, because the money, the briefcase, yes, is a tradition, but they might switch it up a little bit, per se. Again, we don't know, see, because of Daniel Bryan's health. Shane, what do you think about that?
I definitely agree that they need to do two matches if they're going to do the Money in the Bank for the title, because that's why everyone tunes in for. They tune in to watch the Money in the Bank ladder match where people are climbing to get the contract and they wait for the screw job to happen. If you take that out of the equation, then people are going to be like, well, why the hell am I buying Money in the Bank for? This is just a plain old ladder match with the title on the line. It's like, eh.
Yeah, and we had our first qualifier on Monday, and poor Dolph, man, seriously. As our esteemed high muckety muck Carl Schneer said, whose cornflakes did he take a pee in?
Okay. Seriously, if this is still going off of the crap that happened over a year ago to Vince McMahon and Paul Levesque and all the rest of the freaking people in the creative part of things, I say this, build a bridge and get the hell over it. I mean, the man's told the truth about your little buddy Randy Orton and the freaking face of the company John Cena, and you guys are going to freaking piss all over him because he told the truth. Like, give me a break. And the funny thing about that is that Triple H comes out the very next week after Dolph Ziggler made that statement and said, we appreciate people here who voice their opinion.
Well, that's just corporate doublespeak heel actions right there.
Yeah, and also Ziggler lost to Rollins on SmackDown, by the way, in a very, 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 very good match. Mm-hmm. And he also shot a little bit saying that I'm even going to go further down the card. And, look, we'll see how many people go up. But I do like your theory of two Money in the Bank matches now. We're gonna have to see that, because the Money in the Bank has – now, I think 3 weeks to June 29th, right, in Boston.
Yeah.
So we got 3 weeks to see what's going on with that. But I happen to agree with both of you. I think Daniel Bryan is not going to compete. I think and if he does, he's out of his mind. To do this, 5 weeks after surgery?
It will be, I believe, six.
Well, who does he think he is, John Cena? I mean, seriously, right? Cena has no-sold surgery. He's no-sold injury. But, look, that's great medical technology, but all that stuff. Some other things about Monday night that were pretty fun. I loved this old-school Rusev segment that was there. It harkened back to the 80s, didn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, I loved it. I thought it was great. What'd you think?
I'm just surprised they didn't have somebody interrupt them at all for it, but I guess I can get why they did it like that, just to give him something else to his character to gloat about.
And of course, the poor Damien Sandow. Seriously, good grief. Okay, there were two people, because they were in Indianapolis on Monday, there were two people who used the Miami Heat. Hey, LeBron, how you doing? Drink Gatorade instead of Powerade, thank you very much. who basically used the Miami Heat as a gimmick. Of course, Damien Sandow dressed as Lance Williamson of the Indiana Pacers.
Lance Stevenson.
Stevenson, my apologies. Lance Stevenson, and then Bo Dallas. But a little bit of continuity, because if you remember when Big Show punched him out, Big Show was a basketball player in real life. So that dunk was not exactly out of character for Mr. Big Show.
Mm-hmm.
We had Bo Dallas again, Bo leaving against Kofi. Of course, Goldust lost with some new partners this week. Where do you think that's going? Because I don't like Cody Rhodes being a wuss boy, but I don't know where that's going to go necessarily.
It's the basic. We've seen it heaps of times, like not exactly this way, but we've seen it heaps of times where way it's going to play out, Cody's going to be watching all the matches backstage. He's going to say that Goldust keeps losing, even when he's not there. So Goldust is the loser and the reason why they suck. So Cody will turn on Goldust, and that will make Cody's heel turn complete.
Mm-hmm. Simple and easy. You're right there. It's just a question of when. Question, remember there was also another big Cena promo during the whole Daniel Bryan thing. Do you think Big Brother Cena defending Daniel Bryan is a good thing or a bad thing?
To be honest with you, I don't think it's much of a good thing because, you kind of got to let Daniel Bryan stand on his own two feet. If you keep trying to shove him down our throat saying he's great, eventually the opinion of the audiences are going to turn on him. And that's a big problem.
See John Cena back in 2005, how they were saying he was so great, and then the audiences started to turn on him.
Yes.
Of course, his opponents at the time didn't help, but...
Yes.
Right, but the question is, though, I mean, they're giving Daniel Bryan the benefit of the doubt because he's hurt. That's not an issue. The question is, though, how, again, here's the thing with me and John Cena, and I was discussing this. Who has the bigger shovel, Triple H or John Cena? That's a very interesting question, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Yeah, to be honest, I think Cena might just have the bigger shovel. Everyone he has championed has essentially been shoved way down the card or outright released. With Triple H, yes, he buried a few people, but the thing is, those who he buried kind of stayed at that same level they were at before.
I mean, look, Cena put Punk over. Where's Punk now, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the people who he has, quote-unquote, put over.
Evan Bourne.
Well, yeah. Shane, what do you think? Do you think Cena has a shovel?
Of course Cena has a shovel. It's the Super Cena shovel. That's what we've been talking about for ages. But like I said, I've got nothing against John Cena the man. John Cena the man is a
right,
great...
Right, we're talking about John Cena the wrestler here.
Yeah, John Cena the wrestler, I'm sorry, but, like, yeah, he's old, he's pretty much getting up to Hulk Hogan standard where he's old and outdone. It's like,
I mean, he's been doing this now for 12 years, okay? And, look, not disrespecting the man's work ethic, his strength, or anything else. I'm just saying the way he's booked makes him invulnerable. I think, and we talked about it earlier, if Cena would have lost the Last Man Standing match, I would be a lot of people would be happier men and people, because at least he would show some sense of vulnerability. You know, it's like, who can defeat John Cena outside of Father Time and himself?
Here's the thing, and you brought up CM Punk. Bill Brooks made the best comment humanly possible because it was 100% true. If you look back at it and you think about what he said...
Are you talking about the pipe bomb in 11?
The pipe bomb he dropped when they got him his big push on Raw, where he said, John Cena's a big ass kisser. The only one that was bigger, the only two that were bigger than him was Hulk Hogan and Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And look what happened. Cena, and think about this, guys, everyone that Cena has come up against, he always overcomes them. But when it came to The Rock, Rock beat him twice in a friggin' row when it came to... When it came to, like, WrestleManias and...
No, that's not true. No, he won in 28, lost in 29.
Oh, yeah, no, but we're big match situations. Like, friggin' Rock always got the upper hand, and Cena didn't overcome that one at the first WrestleMania, but the next one he always overcomes. But as I'm saying with Bray Wyatt, he did... Bray gets one win, and then, of course, when it comes to ending it, Cena can't go out on a losing thing, so he has to friggin' win. It's ridiculous.
Now, the question is, though, is WWE going to ever change this? Is he? Because I don't see it changing. I don't see it changing at all. Okay. It's crazy. We saw some other things. Of course, we saw Hornswoggle with his 1970s skullet. Okay. Nikki got punished for Bree's misbehavior. It is Bree. Bree's misbehavior and got, beat by two women. There was no Bray Wyatt on Monday, but he came back on SmackDown basically saying he is reborn and I'm not dead. Adam Rose beat Jack Swagger. And by the way, if you check out the JBL and Cole show, Yosemite Sam, a.k.a. Zeb, is going after Adam Rose's rabbit.
Yes.
I'm like, no. Okay. And, of course, Zack Ryder told what's up, said, what's up, Doc, to Dolph. It was pretty funny. The Wyatts beat the Usos, and we also talked about Del Rio. But and the ratings were pretty good this week. The ratings went up about to about 4.15 million. I mean, they lost a lot of things in the third hour, but I think the ratings are going to increase this week because of what happened, don't you think?
Only question is the NBA Finals up against it?
On Monday, let me take a look, actually. Well, I'll do a little live research.
Nope, the game is not on. This is good news.
Sunday? Sunday night is 2, right?
Sunday is 2, Tuesday is 3.
Yep.
The fact that you had to look that up and Stat Boy over here has it in 2 seconds flat, that's the reason why he's called Stat Boy.
That is right. Exactly. That's why you're Stat Boy. Let's see. Let's just talk about some other issues here. We actually had some WrestleMania numbers for you. Believe it or not, with all the cable companies and satellite companies getting off WrestleMania, they got 700,000 buys worldwide for WrestleMania. Okay? Which is pretty good. Combined with the 667,000 people using the network, that's 1.3 million, if everyone watched it, 1.3 million people watching WrestleMania 30. That's damn good.
Yeah.
That is damn good. And did you also notice that they're now actually doing annual packages for the network?
Yeah, at no discount.
Well, they need the money. You know that. But yeah. Interesting. Total Divas did 1.5 million, which was a high for season, what is it, season 2? Because it was the wedding, right? That was the wedding episode. Yeah. And season 3 with Rosa Mendez is filming right now as we speak, right?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, by the way, speaking of numbers and some other stuff, this is the contractual obligation hour. We have to talk some TNA for a minute. I know. I'm sorry.
That rule changed when we changed sections.
No. First of all, Impact did its lowest numbers at 993,000 in like 6 months.
Ooh.
This week. And they're actually filming Destination X at one of the New York tapings. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But, believe it or not, I have some actually breaking TNA news, and boy, get this. Tommy Dreamer's House of Hardcore 4 is happening as we speak, as we tape this, at the Mid-Hudson Civic Center at the Poughkeepsie, New York. So get this. He says he actually shot on Dixie Carter. Quote, and this is from the recap from tonight's show. Tommy Dreamer, D-Von, and Abyss came to the ring. Dreamer thanked everyone for the support and says he's a wrestling fan, too. He says this isn't for the DVD, but for everyone here. He said that he's the original Paul Heyman guy, and Paul always never said never lie to the audience. He's going to tell the truth. Dreamer announced a nationally syndicated TV show will be shooting tonight. He said for legal reasons he can't say what it is, but when it happens, you will know and react to it. He said that they were taking little steps like what happened last time and the coverage Bully Ray brought them last time, and this is another step. Dreamer says that with the good news, there's a bad news. He said someone is missing from this ring. Someone yelled, "Fuck you, Dixie." Dreamer said that he got a call last night at 11:30 that Bully was pulled to go to Spike's show per Dixie's orders. Dreamer said that Dixie's a mark for Twitter. So feel free to tweet her and let her know how you feel. The fans chanted, "Fuck that bitch." Dreamer said that Bully wanted to pass on that if you're going to any TNA shows coming up in PA or New York and bring your HOH ticket, Bully will meet up for a photo and autograph. He says that's not for TNA, but for hardcore fans. Dreamer said he promises that he's going to get Dixie Carter back for this. He's tired of people like her abusing people like him and fans like you. And he said, "Bitch, I will get you for this." Ho, oh, baby!
Mother of God!
Yow! Okay. Oh, dear God. Wow, and nice! Holy cow! That's crazy! But you know what? Good! Good on him!
Mm-hmm.
Good on him!
Yeah, good on Tommy Dreamer, but for you, Tommy, I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Uh-oh.
Expect a pink slip in your mail sooner rather than later.
I actually want to give some really pretty cool news from WWE. And I read this week, and I thought this was pretty awesome. Now, we have talked many times about the WWE wellness policy, and that every year they send out a letter to every former wrestler that has worked for them, and they have said that if you need help, medical help to get off any addiction, they will give it to you. Free of charge, they'll pay for it. And we have documented many people like X-Pac, Scott Hall and others, MVP, that have basically that have said that saved their lives. You guys have heard of this, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Well, try this on for size. The Talent Relations Department issued letters this week to former contracted talents and referees offering them financial planning assistance in a number of ways never offered by the company before. Okay?
Mm.
All right. And what they stated was that they will offer free of charge financial planning and debt assistance services through a financial firm for anyone who is under contract. The assistance would include financial management and those who are in debt consolidation. Okay? They're offering also a $5,000 per semester scholarship to any former talents who wish to further their college education. The letter noted that the interested need to enroll by August 1st to be eligible for the fall semester scholarship and to provide proof of enrollment to WWE. This is pretty damn awesome, right, Shane? Seriously, especially since we know a lot of wrestlers back in the 70s and 80s who didn't do well with their money.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'm glad WWE is going in a good direction with their wellness policy and everything. Now, if only they could do that with everything else.
Jesus. What? No, okay, but seriously though, that's pretty cool though, right?
Yeah, no, it is cool. It is cool. I will give them that. WWE give very high props to them, and yeah, it's great. Definitely a great policy.
Yeah, CM, that's a good idea. That's really good stuff, right?
Yes, it is. It is something that I thought they should have done a long time ago, considering how many former talents are you see either getting the bad stories and having problems like Ric Flair had and Tony Atlas had, and this is the way to get them to show them the respect they had for putting their bodies on the line every night for pretty much for them.
Now, we also, you know, we have publicly seen that Vicky Guerrero has gone back to school. You know, mm-hmm. She has tweeted that on many occasions. Josh, this is really, you know, again, this is sort of an evolution of to how the company is treating its employees, don't you think?
Yeah, and it's about time, too, because for the longest time, yeah, you've already made mention that the WWE just kind of let them go afterwards and said, nah, which has led to a lot of downturns and a lot of, oh, I'm happy that they're finally changing their tune. I just wish they'd done it sooner.
Well, yeah, I mean, because, I mean, we're going to see, I think... Let me ask this question then. Do we see eventually, or does this financial planning lead to the steps that we're thinking of? Unionization, treating them as employees, per se? That type of thing? You know what I mean?
It would be nice.
Yeah.
That's a trickier slope than just helping them with their education and stuff, because... Well, there's a lot of reasons why they don't, and there's always the people who are on the top that don't want it to unionize, because then they'll say that it's taking their spots and stuff like that. But it would be nice to see it actually happen. I just don't know if it is going to happen.
Okay. Shane, do you think this is another step towards full employee benefits, or do you think this is just another goodwill gesture to the wrestlers of the past and or semi-present?
I honestly I think it's just a step at the moment, because like with Vince currently losing a lot of money at the moment, I don't think he can afford to do that for all the employees he's got. Especially with the contracts he's got to deal with and everything else. So, yeah, no, I think this is just a step at the moment. But a good step.
It's a great step. I want to end before we take the break here, and then we're gonna talk about the network in the second half. But before we go into the break, this is a pretty weird story out of Canada. There's a guy by the name of independent wrestler named Devin Nicholson. Okay? I'm going to put a link in here in the Google chat for you guys to take a look at this. He's a guy who won a judgment against Abdullah the Butcher. Okay? Reason being is that a judge ruled Tuesday that he should be entitled to $2.3 million from Abdullah the Butcher because, get this, he contracted Hep C from Abdullah following a body match in 2007 where Abdullah allegedly bladed Nicholson without his consent. Okay? Mm-hmm. Abdullah, who has publicly denied he had it, has 30 days to appeal the ruling. Nicholson has claimed he lost a WWE contract due to the disease, which is now, believe it or not, in remission. So he's gotten it. Okay. And he supposedly has been cleared in January 2014 from the CBC, actually, here. He said, Mr. Shreve himself has been saying all along, I'm a liar, that he doesn't have Hep C, he didn't cut me, and I believe the judge made it clear that he did cut me, and yes, he has a history of Hep C. Okay? And, of course, there's a vine of him holding his lawyer in the sacrifice powerbomb. This is going to be interesting because, you know, Abdullah, you know, has these restaurants and all that sort of stuff. So, I mean, but this is interesting stuff because you know as well as I do that there are going to be a lot of wrestlers who are going to might sue this stuff, sue for this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, crazy story. What we're going to do right now is we're going to take a little bit of a break right now. We're going to just take a little second half. And what we're going to do is I'm going to actually bring up an article that was posted on a sheet. And we're going to talk about how we can improve the WWE network. I'd like to see what you think about this. For Shane, for Chris, for Josh and myself, this is Jason Block here on the CLW83 for the NAWC. We'll be back.
How many websites do you use to get your daily dose of wrestling news and views? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net. Franklin Daniel and his staff bring you the most comprehensive wrestling headlines all day, every day. Plus, WrestleChat brings you informative and entertaining podcasts like the Still Real to Us Show, the Bauer Show Podcast, and the North American Wrestling Connection each and every week. For up-to-date wrestling news and insightful wrestling views, there's only one site to turn to, and that's WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. Away from your computer? That's no problem. Take CLW83 Podcast with you wherever you go with the TuneIn Radio app. Download the free TuneIn app from the App Store or Google Play. Then search for CLW83 to connect to the latest editions of the NAWC, Touch 'Em All, the BS Big Show, and all of your other favorite CLW83 programs. CLW83, online, on demand, and on the go with the TuneIn app for Apple and Android devices. Download it today.
My brain was broken after seeing the images of Hulk Hogan's sex tape.
Do not want. Do not want.
Nikki! Nikki!
Brain bleach!
Leading up to the contract signing, we had some video packages about Brock Lesnar. I found it interesting the people that they were showing him kill. He killed some kid that paints his face. Some, you know, highfalutin technical wrestler with Olympic experience.
And then some old fart who does porno.
You had to go there!
No!
You had to go there!
Nikki!
Oh, God, we're killing people tonight! Oh, my God!
Brain bleach!
You know, it's bad enough that they're doing what you see on soap operas. Last week on Raw, Dolph Ziggler got kicked in the crotch.
Impressive, Tyler. Very good. You could work for DNA. Oh,
don't toss him like that.
That's a step down from Panera.
Yeah, seriously, exactly. Panera pays better.
Exactly. And they actually provide health insurance.
Yeah, what?
Oh, hey, Dana White, this is Vince McMahon.
Oh, hey, Vince, what's up? How's Brock going for you?
He's doing good. At least he can fight.
Oh, shit! Wow! Wow! Yes!
I'm gonna read you a press release from TNA.
I'll get my cans.
Press release? Are you sure?
Got my cans.
Okay. Are you prepared, Tom?
I don't know.
Do we have an EMT on staff?
I think I'm going to have a stretcher match with myself, and I'm going to lose.
Coming off the heels of one of TNA's highest attended Bound for Glory.
That's because everyone else was in Orlando.
No, Dixie, those cardboard people don't count.
TNA Wrestling announces a 24/7 cross-platform programming initiative where the action never ends, and it begins today as in Thursday.
What action?
Remember, wrestling matters, and it must be thoroughly discussed. I heard a can. Our renewed focus as it relates to our television program. My God, the corporates! Too much corporate!
Jesus!
Okay, I'm gonna actually say this is going to be a shocker.
Iwana!
I think it's going to be Ambrose over Jimmy Uso.
Ambrose isn't even in the match. So...
Damn it! Son of a bitch. I mean... Okay, this will be a long night. Okay, Ambrose pins Jimmy.
Ambrose!
I said Ambrose again. Vela! Okay, Roman Reigns pins Jimmy. How's that?
Thank you!
Ding, 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 ding!
Hallelujah!
MC Hammer. Oh, wait, that was wrong.
Back with the second half of the North American Wrestling Connection, is sponsored by WrestleCheck.net. Shane Beeman, Chris Waters, and Josh Hanniger with me. How is everyone doing here?
Doing well, doing well.
Okay. It's going to be a bit of a short second segment, but you want to know something? I think it's going to be very interesting to me, because I was reading an article, and we are now at the 100-day mark of the WWE Network. And, you know, a lot of the stuff is pretty damn awesome on that show, on that place. You know, great stuff. You know, access to the backstage passes, the Legends House, you know, NXT. Chris, you love NXT, right?
Yes.
Who does not love the NXT, okay? Especially TakeOver and all that stuff.
Which I'm glad they actually mentioned on the main shows this week for once.
Mm-hmm. So... The network is good, but it's better. What I'm going to do is, I believe Mike Johnson of PW Insider wrote a list of some shows that he thought might be cool to see on the network, and I want to go around the table and see what you think of each of these particular things. And I'm going to start with you, Josh, and then we'll go around. What do you think of a WCW Saturdays at 6:05 show?
Oh, yes!
Okay, in other words, wear them once a week, 6:05, 8:05, and do so, quote-unquote, do it in real time. Do it for that. How about that one?
Oh, God, WCW Saturday night all over again?
Yeah.
Take me back to the good old days, please.
So you're a yes on that one?
Hell yes.
Okay, what about you, Chris? You like that idea?
Oh, hell yes, I like that idea, especially if we can see the old mechanical doors again.
Shane, did you ever watch WCW back in the 80s, or know of it?
Mate, back in the 80s, I wasn't even born, so it doesn't really matter.
Wow, okay.
Sorry to burst your bubble, Grandpa.
Yeah, shut up, Josh. Okay, but how about this? Okay, but yeah, that's a good one. How about this one? ECW home video, okay? Ooh. Basically, you should transfer the old VHS ECW home video releases to show beyond the tapes and add new material to it. I think that'd be interesting. What do you think?
I'm surprised they haven't done more with those ECW home video tapes as it is right now, because there's a lot of stuff that was on those things. And I remember the old commercials for it back before ECW went on TNN. That seems like it could be interesting to see if finally...
There's so much stuff that's out there that hasn't even been mined, by the way. I think that'd be great. This one, I think, is going to be really the closest to what I think is going to really happen, called the Pro Wrestling This Week concept. Okay? Back in the 80s, according to Mike Johnson, Gordon Solie and Joe Pedicino
hosted a wonderful syndicated series looking at the world in and around wrestling. Well, of course, they were sent tapes from different territories, but you sort of make a, you know, with the Renee Young and Paul Heyman, for example, for his suggestions, discussing the topics of the WWE week and be entertaining and fun. I love this idea because you do need sort of a week, you know, do it like about an hour, right? You know, just sort of, where would you put it and how would you do it? I'd love this idea. What do you think, Shane? Do you like this idea?
I don't mind it, but what are we talking about here? Are we talking about, like, they're thinking about doing a round table, or...
You know, just maybe just sort of like a round table, or a, you know, a two-person panel, or something like that. Sort of like...
I don't mind if they do it as a round table, because I have watched the Legends of Wrestling round table and found that was really entertaining, and if you put that on a WWE Network show, I'd definitely watch it. So if they do something like that, yeah, definitely I'll watch it.
What about you, Josh? Do you like this idea?
I do like it quite a bit, but don't we already have something along these lines with This Week in WWE?
Where is that on the
network? Yes, it is on the network. I'd have to find it real quick. There it is. Found it. There will be a new episode apparently tomorrow, June 7th.
Well, I think more of sort of a sports center idea, maybe.
Oh, that one! I've heard of that being in the grapevine as well.
Yeah,
that would be,
you know,
actually crazy interesting.
Exactly. How about some old AWA? How about that? You know, sort of with, like, things to Hogan, Gagne, Robinson, Bockwinkel, Heenan, and Jake the Milkman Milliman. How about that?
Wow.
Well, I have seen some of the AWA stuff on ESPN Classic sometimes, so it would be neat to see even more. But would they go into the last year of AWA where they were in the pink room at the end?
And Eric Bischoff's helmet hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like, put it to this one, this particular segment reminds me of the old WWE Confidential, but in a new way. Where are they now? Okay. Because the WWE does a great job. If you've ever read their website, they do occasional pieces on wrestlers and what they're doing, you know? Sort of like former Simon Dean, who's now a bank manager, or Crowbar's a physical therapist. Nunzio is a court officer, okay? And sort of, you know, do wraparounds with some of their matches and, you know, film some new segments in there. I like that one. That would be fun.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to laugh. But did I hear that correctly? Did I hear Nunzio's a court officer?
Yes! Nunzio is a court officer. Swear.
Who would be intimidated by that? I mean, 6 foot Russian guy comes in, here's Nunzio going, you better obey the law in this court. I'm like, really?
Yes, he's a bailiff. What? Yes, he's a 4 foot. Three bailiff. Yeah, okay.
Right. Oh, God.
I've actually worked with him. He's a good guy. He's a really good guy, but...
I'm not saying he's not a good guy, but I'm just saying this is going to turn into a bloody Nathan Jones and son.
No, but would you mind this Where Are They Now?
No, I like that sort of stuff. I liked hearing about, like, you know, where Ivory was and where everyone else was added in their careers. If they did do it, I would actually recommend that they do some interviews with them for now. Like, what they liked, what their favorite matches were, etc., and how they're enjoying their new lives.
Josh, you like that idea, right? That would be fun.
Yeah, that would absolutely be fun.
There is a web series that is on the WWE YouTube channel, which I want to see as a web series, which network series, which is the WWE Warehouse.
Yes.
Okay. The WWE Warehouse has done only, I think, 3 episodes so far.
Right.
And they did one this week, I think, with the Undertaker's caskets. That were phenomenal, because they had one that was built for Mark Henry. there was one built for, they had like tons of caskets. It was really creepy to look at. Okay.
Yeah, I was kind of upset, but I understand why they didn't, that they didn't show the really old school one that they used for both Yokozuna and Mabel, but I understand why they didn't do that one.
Why?
Respect because, to the dead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but still, that was the first double wide, double deep before the Mark Henry one.
Yeah, but yeah, there were a couple of double wide. There were a couple of double wide ones, but it was. But again, WWE Warehouse should be a great web series. Absolutely, I'd love to see that on the show. Okay, they said something like, "How about this one? Saturday Night Fights, showing the old house shows once a week." Mm. For example, that was shown in Toronto, L.A., Philly, Boston, and New York. Show, you remember those shows, don't you?
Somewhat.
Yeah, oh, okay. Usually relegated to, like, what, Sunday mornings right now?
Could be, yeah. Maybe more, who knows. How about this one? Take us inside Titan Tower and WWE. Like, for example, do live cut-ins and wraparounds inside WWE headquarters, the video library, in the production trucks, backstage everywhere. Sort of like Vince McMahon in his office introducing WrestleMania Rewinds. Triple H backstage at Raw explaining why fans should watch a classic match. Tour the WWE Warehouse. Fans who watch the network are obsessed. Sort of make it the Haven. I'd love to see that. That'd be great. If you're going to break kayfabe, break it even more. I'd love to see that.
It does sound kind of interesting.
And the last one, they sort of want to make sort of WWE wrestling VJs like, you know, Colt Cabana, Cliff Compton, the Bellas, to sort of do wraparounds for programming. That wouldn't be bad.
That's only the weakest of the bunch, but it isn't bad nonetheless.
All right. Now, I just have one more that I want to – I'm going to ask you guys something. The last question, what do you guys want to see that isn't out there right now?
Well, besides old episodes of Monday Nitro to go with the old episodes of Raw that we have already, but I think they're saving that for when they actually debut that Monday Night Wars show finally.
Right.
I would like to see, I know this is weird to say this, but I liked Saturday Morning Slam when it was on. I would like to see another program like that, even though yeah, they won't get that many kids watching the network, but it would be nice to have that option since they also have Slam City on the network.
You know what? I agree with you on that Slam Saturday Morning Slam because, yes, I watched it. Yes, it was terrible, but it was good as being terrible, if you understand what I mean. For the age group that it was perfect. You know, it had defined good guys, defined bad guys, and there was doofus. It was absolute doofus.
Plus, it gave some of the other wrestlers a chance to put their personalities on there when they were guest commentators because they changed that up every week, even though Santino did a bunch of them. They did have, like, Barrett was one week, and I'm sure there was others.
I think Ziggler was one.
Yeah.
Others.
Miz was pretty heavy on there.
Yep, Miz was pretty heavy. Shane, would you like to see sort of a kids show on the network?
I thought that's what Monday Night Raw was, but
oh, sure. Nice. Okay, no, I meant like a real kid show, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I wouldn't mind it. I don't mind them if it gets me back original Monday Night Raw. Then yes, hell yes, give the kids a kid show and go back to the lethal Monday Night Raw, but just...
The other one I would like to see kind of make a return in a way would be a revamped version of the old YouTube show, Are You Serious?
Oh.
Ooh, interesting. Okay. You mean sort of like an MST3K type of deal. Sort of their version of Botchamania.
Exactly. That was fun when it was on there, even though they did pick on WCW a lot. But I liked it when it was on. I would love to see it again. And, hey, we can bring back Puppet H, too.
And Mark, who is smart, you see.
Yeah.
Hey, Josh, how about this idea? Okay. What about sort of a new version of Livewire? Okay.
Whoa.
Okay. In the sense that you have social media, you have Facebook, especially sort of a 21st century of Livewire. Or what was the, oh, or Bite This. Remember Bite This?
Yeah.
Okay. You do a weekly interview show that's live. Or, you know, or plausibly live.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, in this particular case, you just, you know, you get in, you have tweets, questions, you have the 800 number, and then you have Facebook questions, and then you have people, call in. That would be great, don't you think? It's sort of an interactive idea?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Chris, what about that idea? You like that one?
I like it. It's just that it's very tricky with a show like that. You have to have somebody always on there to stream everything to make sure they don't say... Because, you know, WWE wants to be kind of controlling. They want to have... You're going to have somebody to control which questions get through and which don't. So that's always the tricky part about it. And that's what I think killed Livewire in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
If they film it from the studios like they did with WWF Mania and Livewire, that would be great, though, too.
I mean, because, again, I mean, they're trying to do it with, like, Inbox and other things, but I think they haven't really tapped the interactive potential of the network yet. I don't think they have, even though it's 100 days and it's still early yet. But I think they've got to have this sense of, you know, especially with the massive social media footprint that they have. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, Chris, you gave your ideas. Josh, what do you think? What do you think would be a great...
I don't believe I'm saying this, but you all kind of stole mine.
What's that?
Well, it was a little bit of... you stole my first and second ideas, so... I've got nothing.
No. Well, just tell me what ideas you like.
Essentially, the Livewire part was beautiful, and then also the whole Where Are They Now confidential-ish type stuff.
Okay. Okay. Well, let me ask you this. Who do you think... All right, Shane, I'll ask you this. Who do you think would be a great personality for the network right now, sort of to break out? Who would you want to see on the network?
On the network. Oh God, too many people by your name. I'm really liking like Dolph Ziggler's work right now. I think he'd go brilliantly with the network. But it seems like he's pissed in someone's Cheerios. That won't be happening. If not, you could possibly. Seeing as though you're trying to sign Steve Borden, make him an ambassador for the network or something, aren't they?
Yeah, that'd be good. But because I think what they did with WrestleMania, you know, with the whole Daniel Bryan documentary, the Warrior documentary, that's the potential of what the network can do. Right now they're still in its infancy. Don't get me wrong. But I think it's going to be they've got a lot of good stuff coming up. I just want to see. I mean, another season of Legends House is going to happen. You know this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, apparently Hulk Hogan's going to be part of that one. So.
Oh really?
That's what I was saying.
Oh boy.
That's going to be dangerous.
Yes, exactly. That is definitely that's definitely going to be interesting. But again. Even with all the stuff that we have seen, the network right now is still a damn steal right now.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with NXT, with Countdown, with other stuff that's going on. I would love to just see what they have down the pipeline. It's going to be really, really interesting to see what we do and where they do it at the moment.
I'll tell you what I'd like to see. On the network, And this is for like all the adults that watch the WWE Network. I'd like WWE, and I know there's a no chance in hell, to borrow a quote from Vince, that it would happen, but I'd like to see the WWE Network do sort of like a U shoot series.
Oh, yeah. No, because you see, remember, they're controlling the information, you see.
No, I'm not saying that they attack anyone else. I'm saying this gives the WWE superstars the opportunity to air their grievances against their own company. Like, for example, Dolph Ziggler, he could come on and say how he really feels about losing to guys like Alberto Del Rio, who haven't had a push in friggin' years. and guys like Damien Sandow saying how they feel dressing up like Jebediah friggin' Springfield.
Whoa. Ouch. Ouch, ouch, ouch. I'm with you on that. But, you know what? Like I said, it's going to be interesting to see where they go from here on this, to say the least. But what we're going to do right now, since we're going to end this a little bit, we're going to start a little bit with some plugs. Oh, but before we go, I want to wish Jim Ross a speedy recovery. He's in the hospital right now. We don't know for what, but he's been in there for about a day or two. So I just hope he's okay and, you know, just get back to commentating and doing what you need to do. Because, you know, one of the best in the business by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh, definitely. I watched that Jim Ross commentating on a MMA fight, and Jesus, he's still got it. I mean,
he also did a boxing match recently.
And a boxing match as well. Yeah, I just thought, Jesus, Jim's still got it.
Hello?
He's the man.
He is the man. Josh, you have anything to plug?
Outside of Mario Marathon, which will be starting up in about 2 weeks from today.
And what's the website on that one?
MarioMarathon.com. It'll be starting 2 weeks from today, yeah.
Okay. Chris, do you have anything?
Well, I would plug my site, but I'm still working on trying to find a new video server since Blip's kicking me out of it. I'll just plug E3 that's coming up on Tuesday.
We will be talking about that on Pixel Nation, but more on that in a minute. Of course, Shane, you got anything?
No, actually, I'm actually really excited to get going because I want to go play my Watch Dogs.
Okay, all right, that's no problem, but we will talk. I got a shit ton of stuff to plug. Of course, we'll be recording a new episode of Pixel Nation this weekend. We'll be recording a new episode of Touch 'Em All next week. We hopefully will be recording Red State, Blue State, and or WLTI, but on tomorrow I will be at the World Quizzing Championships. There are 40 countries participating in this world quiz. You can find it at worldquizzingchampionships.com, and I will be participating in that. And, yes, Pixel Nation will be having its E3 preview, and boy, there's a lot of stuff going on. But right now, I think I just want to take it home. I know Nikki, hopefully, will be back from government custody next week.
Hang on, Jason. Can we? I know you're saying World Quizzing Championships. Can you at least be honest with our listeners and just tell them that you're going on an episode of Jeopardy? Come on.
No. It's called the World Quizzing Championships. No joke. It is not. It is not a joke. It is World Quizzing Championships. It's a totally big thing. It's not on TV. It's sort of like a worldwide pub quiz. No joke. And it's really, really kind of difficult. And people, quizzers all over the world, do it simultaneously. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you. For Carl Schneer, who's recording this, for Shane Beeman, for CM Waters, Chris Waters, for Josh Henniger. What do we want to promote, Carl?
Tacos are delicious.
Yes, they are. I did say this is the season 8 premiere, but what else we got?
BS Big Show in about 10 days or so.
That's right, yes. We're going to be talking a lot of stuff. Players getting paid, players getting suspended, players on the cover of Madden 15,
Yes, bye, Seahawks. You are not repeating.
we'll see about that.
And but now Jason takes it home. Good night, everybody.
Got it. I will do that. For Shane, for Carl, for Chris, for Josh, this is Jason Block. Thank you, Nikki, for allowing me to have the seat. And sorry, hopefully we'll be back. Hopefully you will be back soon. For everyone here at CLW83, where you can find us, of course, on TuneIn, Stitcher to Radio, Player.fm, all that good stuff. This is Jason Block saying thank you very much for listening, and we'll be back next week. See you around.
You've been listening to a JWC Media produced program.